You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
We are. That was last week. We're on week two of this series, brothers and sisters, and like I said, I'm so excited about it because we're looking at what makes the church, and what makes MC3 the church, and just how we are not just a group of people that meet together on Sunday mornings, but we are a family, brothers and sisters together. And as a family, you have the opportunity to share in the lobby about how someone has been your brother and sister. I'm just saying. But that's a thing that you can do. But these next 2 months, looking at this whole idea of what makes us family. And as I said last week, you know, some of this stuff is like new, kind of, or at least we know, but maybe we should start doing it. But a lot of what we're looking at is almost an encouragement and a reminder that, you know, we're doing some of these things, and it's incredible. So keep up the good work. So we're going to do a little bit of that together. But before we do that, I want to talk about cause and effect. I want to talk about if-then. Because, you know, if you're familiar with that idea, you know, something happens, and then therefore, as a result, something else happens. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard of if you give a mouse a cookie. And then there's a whole bunch of other things that happen when you give a mouse a cookie. If a mouse runs through your garage and you accidentally spill mouse poison, the mouse dies. And you find him on the floor in the garage on Saturday and he's not nibbling on your stuff. And here's the deal, right? I'm not anti-mice. I'm anti-snake. And I know that if you have mice, snakes come, and I just can't do that. Like, I'd have to move out, like, of the area to somewhere that doesn't have snakes, like Florida or Australia. Right. All right. Anyway, so I want to talk about if then, and I just need your feedback. So let me hit the house lights here, and we're going to show some videos, and I want you to kind of help me decide what do you think. We're going to show you the if, and then you're going to decide what is the then. So here's our first sample here. If. Okay. So if you start cutting down a tree with a rope tied to the back of your pickup truck, any thoughts on what the then will be? The tree will fall on the truck. Okay, other thoughts? The tree will fall on the house. Other things, any? The truck goes flying. That would be kind of awesome. Maybe that's what happens. Okay, so here's the then. Oh, had to edit some things out there. Oh, look at that. There's a kid with a... That was supposed to be clipped out of there. So there's a guy. It has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. So, if you tie a rope to the tree and cut it down, it then may fall on the house. So there... Hey, kid. let's try the next if. If... Okay, now let me clarify. First of all, they're speaking in another language. I don't know what that language is. If you speak that language and they're swearing, I'm sorry. I don't know what they're saying. So we're just pretending we don't know what it says. So if two guys are trying to remove a nice chimney, what do you think then will happen? Any thoughts, guesses? They fall through the roof? Chimney falls through the roof? They go flying through the air? Yeah. All right, so let's see the then. They've got it. Hey, what the heck? These are random extra pictures for your benefit. Okay, so if you try to remove a chimney and then... Who wants to know what that one's all about? All right, so if you do that, then the chimney will fall through the roof. So let's go on to the next if. If you're driving your sailboat towards a drawbridge and the bridge is up, what's the then? Any guesses? a bridge will come down, the car will go up the ramp, the cell phone goes flying through the air. Any other guesses?
Everything blows up.
All right. Now, I just will say, well, why don't we see what happens then? Somebody falls off the bridge?
The chimney.
Oh. But the bridge is going down. Look at the other boat, too. It's almost like there was some lack of communication somewhere there. So, what the heck? There's me. No. So if you try to drive your boat under a drawbridge and the drawbridge is coming down, the boat, did you notice the boat actually almost went under the water before the mast broke? That's what that long thing is called, because I'm a sailor. Is that what people, I guess people that sail are sailors, that's the right word. Okay, cool. Let's do, what do we have? Oh, we have, okay, you're getting a little bit better. With random guy and, anyway, okay, so let's look at the next if video. Okay, if you try to show off to your friends by doing a wheelie on your motorcycle, what is the then? Okay, hold on. Brock, where's Brock? Oh, he's out there.
Brock, we need an expert.
All right, seriously, what do you think? The bike, what's going to happen? When you do a wheelie on a motorcycle... Falls on his back, okay? Flies up in the air, yeah. The chimney flies down through and does a 360 backwards, okay? All right. All right, yeah, there's Brock. I mean, what do you think? When you do a wheelie on your bike, what happens? Did you see this one? Oh, okay. We'll see what happens then. Brought him in. And there's a house. What do you think is going to happen to this house that's built over a hole? So if you try to do a wheelie on your motorcycle, not only will you fall off of it, but it will end up in the pool. Okay, all right. Let's do one more if here.
This is my new photo by Terry, and I'm going to show you how it works. First, you put it on here, then you press the watch it button.
Okay. No. So what's going to happen? Seriously, if you've seen the video, you need to get out more. So I watched this. I'm like, you know, she's narrating it. She's so happy. It's Christmas, by the way. And she's pushing the button. So if you push the button on your magical fairy flying thing, then this will happen.
That's the hat. Then it'll fly up in just a second. See? And then... No!
She was so happy and just narrating her way through. And it's like, so, yeah. Yeah, exactly. can you just go live on that one again? We need to watch that again. Just go to the picture. Oops, sorry. No, go to the then. There we go.
That's that. And then it'll fly up in just a second. And then... No!
Oh, yeah, so, poor girl, so the if-then, obviously there are things that we do or that can happen that cause a result. If this happens, then that might happen. If you try to do a wheelie on your motorcycle near the pool, your motorcycle might actually end up in the pool. If you demonstrate for the camera in front of the fireplace your brand new flying fairy, it might, in fact, fly into the pool. There's this if, then, this cause into the fire. I'm having a rough day today. Yeah, I've been forgetting things. It's okay. So if, then... Things cause a consequence. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning as we look at, as we continue this Brothers and Series, Brothers and... Seriously, I'm just going to go. like, I dropped the mic, but it's clipped to me. So, Brothers and Sisters Series, talking about cause and effect. And here's, we're going to look more at that, about this. If this happens, then this should be the result. If this is the case, then this is how we should respond. And the point that I want you to get this week as we look at brothers and sisters is brothers and sisters help each other out. That is, as a church, as the family of God, as brothers and sisters, we help each other out. And that's not just in terms of financial things, which it could be, and we'll talk even more about that next week. That might mean just someone being there and saying, I've got your back, as we talked about last week. Someone saying, I'm here, can we talk? I'm here to talk. But we help each other out. We're in each other's lives enough that we can do that. And of course, if you're not in the lives of your brothers and sisters, you don't even know what their needs are, so therefore you can't even really help them out. But and we'll talk more about that. But this idea of brothers and sisters help each other out. And we're going to look at this passage in Philippians chapter 2. And you may, if you grew up in church, you've been around church for any amount of time, you've probably heard this before. And we're going to kind of unpack it a little bit, break it down into some pieces here. But this is what Paul writes to the church that he planted in Philippi. And beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." And so Paul sets up this if-then statement. He sets up this concept that if this is true, if this is what has happened or what is about to happen, then, or not for him, it's what has already happened, then this should be our response. And the first thing that he says is that if Jesus has done anything for you, if Jesus has done anything for you. Now, before we go into the passage, just that statement right there. Has Jesus done anything for you? I mean, he has. Have you taken the time to acknowledge that, to process that, and to realize, wow, Christ has done so much for me? And so he says this in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "Therefore," he's finishing another thought. He says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ." So if there's anything that you have gone through a rough time, and Kendra was saying that in her prayer, we talk about never once have we ever walked alone. He's never left us. He is faithful. You know, have you ever been encouraged because you are connected with Christ? Have you ever gone through a hard time and because of your connection with Christ, you have been encouraged? If any comfort from His love, have you ever been comforted in a hard time, in a down time, in a difficult situation, in a time of loss or of hurt or of pain? Have you ever been comforted by His love? He says, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit in you? And if you're a follower of Jesus, that is true. Yes is the answer to that. But have you just felt that connection? Like, I am connected with God. I know that His Spirit is in me. And he says, if any tenderness and compassion. And he says basically all these things. If any of these things are true, if Jesus has done anything for you, then he goes into the then. He says, if Jesus has done anything for you, then help each other out by being one. He says, okay, if Jesus has made a difference in your life, if He has changed anything in your life, if He has done anything for you, then our responsibility as His followers is to do something, and that is to help each other out by being one. And that's what he says in verse 2 then. He says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. He's talking to the church. He says, if Jesus has done anything for you, then your response is to help each other out, is to be like-minded with your brothers and sisters. And that phrase like-minded has this idea of, it means to think the same, to have the same opinions, the same thoughts. We looked at that, go back for a second. We looked at that last week with this idea as well, of like-minded, having the same love. And he says then the same spirit. Notice that spirit, one in spirit, spirit is a lowercase s, because it's not the word for Holy Spirit, which is pneuma, is the Greek word for Holy Spirit. That was the language that they wrote was Greek, they spoke. But this is a lowercase s, and the word actually means to have community, be one in community, to be of one spirit, one mind. And the word mind is the same idea, to think, to have the same mindset. And this isn't just to think a thought about being connected. He doesn't mean I'm thinking the same thing like, yeah, right now we'll both agree that we like Penn State. It's not a passing thought. This one mind is a everything. We are the same in everything that we think, in the way we work together. And again, we talked more about that last week. But that's what Paul says. He says, if Jesus has done anything for you, then we are to be like-minded. We are to do the same for others. Having that same love for others. Being connected. Being in community. Being of one mind. And it's a proposition. It's an if-then. It's a cause and effect. And I think it's important for us just to remember that this isn't a, if you feel this way, you know, whatever. If Jesus has done anything for you, that's fine. If Jesus has done anything for you, then do what you think is best. Then you decide how you really need to connect with other people. Then you decide if you even need to connect with other people. Then you decide, well, that's not my personality, so I don't have to worry about it. Like, Paul doesn't give any room for that. Paul says, if Jesus has done anything for you, then we need to help each other out by being one. Then we need to be one in spirit. We need to be in community. We need to be connected. We need to be there for one another. If then, do a wheelie on your motorcycle, it'll end up in the pool. If then. So then, he explains, how does that work? How do we do that? What does that look like? He says, first of all, it takes selfless priorities. Now we're getting personal. What does it mean to be one? What does it mean to be in community? What does it mean to be connected? What does it mean to help each other out, to have that same attitude? I'm spoiling a little bit. But to have that same mindset, that same concept of what Jesus has done for us. It means, first of all, that we need to have selfless priorities. Selfless. That means us less. Selfless, others more. And that's what he goes on and says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So don't do anything because of what's in it for you. And this is exactly the opposite of everything that is being pushed at us in our media, in social media. Hey, you be you. You do you. You do what's best for you. No, that's not what Jesus has called us to do. And we'll see, if Jesus did what was best for him, we're all going to hell. It's not about what's best for you. He says, don't do anything out of what's best for you. Rather, in humility, putting yourself below, we did a whole series called Less of Me about John the Baptist on humility. You can find that at mc3church.org. Rather, in humility, putting ourselves down, Paul says, value others above yourself. And this word value is kind of a cool word. It's a Greek word that means to go first. It says, value others above yourself. Go first in putting others above you. And what's so interesting about that is sometimes, and again, one, we have a culture that says, do what's best for you, you worry about you, all of that. And then the other kind of response is, well, I'll do something for someone else if they do something for me first. If they do something that's worthy of me helping them out, if they help me out first, if they scratch my back, I'll scratch theirs. And that is exactly, that's the opposite of this word. This word value means go first. Don't wait for them to put you above them. And again, spoilers here, but our attitude should be like Jesus. And Jesus didn't wait for us to say, yeah, we're cleaned up, we're good enough, then I'll die for you. While we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And so this whole concept of helping each other out and of being each other's lives, of valuing others, means we're not waiting for them to do it for us first. And they may never put us before them. But Paul says, if you have anything, if Jesus has done anything for you, then you need to help each other out. Be one, be connected, and it's going to take selfless priorities. Your priority can't be you. Your priority needs to be them, to be the other person, to be that brother, that sister. Not your own ambition, not your own desires, and not even waiting till they do something to deserve you being nice to them or helping them out. Paul says to value them above yourself, which again, rather opposite of what we're told. The second thing Paul says then is that it takes selfless priorities, but it also takes intentional focus. It takes intentional focus because, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot of things that happen and a lot of things that happen to me. And if I just kind of sit back, life will happen and it just goes like nothing. If I sit down, everything doesn't stop. I don't think. You guys all stop. You're like, oh, Sean's sitting down. Like a Truman Show kind of thing or something. Like, okay, here he's in the scene. Now we need to act. I don't know what the Truman Show is anyway. But like, you know, it's not, everything keeps going. And so we need to be intentional because everything is going to tell us what to do, how to live, make us do things. It just kind of happens. We're in a flow. The current is moving. And so if we're going to put others first, if we're going to help others out, if we're going to be one mind as a body of Christ, as the church, as brothers and sisters, then we're going to have to be intentional. And that's what he says in the verse 4 then. He says, in humility, value others of themselves. Well, how does that work? Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And this word looking to, and I know I'm kind of breaking all this Greek, but the word looking to doesn't just mean like, oh, yeah, I saw it. It means to focus on. It means to be intentional. And so Paul says, look, if you want to be one, if you want to be connected, if you want to help each other out, if you want to kind of get each other's backs, as we talked about last week, as this whole series is, it takes putting yourself beneath them, putting them first, and then you have to intentionally focus on other people's interests, on their needs, on their desires, on the things that they struggle with. And I'll just be clear, helping, you know, focusing on someone else's interests doesn't mean it's always pleasant for them. So it doesn't mean like, oh, you like this, so I'm going to give that to you. You know, you wouldn't offer an alcoholic a drink. You know, you wouldn't give a diabetic a massive candy bar. Like, why? Because that's not a good thing. So you might withhold something. Or you might say something that's a hard thing, and we'll get to that in a couple more weeks. But looking to someone else's interest means that you care about them more than yourself, and you have to be intentional about it. You have to take a moment to look around and say, wait, there's other people in this world, aren't there? There's other people around me. And if I'm not thinking about me, one, that helps because you're not worried about yourself. But now we need to start being intentional and saying, what are the needs around me? What can I do for that person? If someone says, hey, I have this problem, I have this struggle, I have this challenge, I have this need right now, many times it's easy for us to be like, oh, well, I'll pray for you. And that could be great. That could be totally legit. But if that's just an excuse to not actually do anything, then you're not looking to their interests. You're looking to your own. If it's a time inconvenience, a financial inconvenience, an emotional inconvenience, then we end up putting ourselves first. We start focusing on our own interests and not valuing them above us. So Paul says, don't look to your own interests, but focus, be intentional about looking to the interests of others. And of course, as we've said already, this is because of what Jesus has done for you. If Jesus has done anything for you, then this is what we're supposed to do for each other. This is how we're supposed to do it. And then finally, the third thing is that it takes a Jesus attitude. It takes a Jesus attitude. Like, we need to be Jesus. Paul says this in verse 5 here. Then he says, your attitude in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. That word can also mean attitude. It can mean the same, just kind of everything you do has the same as what Jesus has done. as Christ Jesus. And then Paul actually goes on, and we don't have this on the screen, but he goes on then in verses 6 through 11 and shares what that looks like and how Jesus, who was God and was in the glory of heaven and everything was wonderful and perfect, and he intentionally stepped down, putting himself aside, making not about him, and went to the cross. I mean, that's the short version. He became human, went to the cross, died for us. And so Paul says, that's what this is supposed to look like. That when it comes to helping each other out, when it comes to being brothers and sisters, we need to have the same attitude as Jesus. And Jesus' attitude wasn't selfish. Jesus' attitude wasn't about Jesus' needs. Jesus' attitude wasn't about what Jesus wanted. It wasn't about what Jesus felt like. Jesus' attitude was about others, us. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He says, look, brothers and sisters, church, if we are followers of Jesus, and if Jesus has done anything for us, then we need to do the same for each other. We need to do that for each other. And it's going to take us changing our priorities. It can't be about me anymore. It takes an intentional focus where I'm going to take a moment and think, what are the needs of the people around me? And we have to do that intentionally. I mean, intentionality is intentional. We have to do that regularly. And recognizing that it's an attitude of Jesus. So if Jesus has done anything for you, then help each other out by being one. And this isn't on the screen. Don't go anywhere with me. Stay right there for a second. But that's what the church is. Jesus created this when he died, when he rose again. And then he in Acts says, okay, now you... Well, he says to his disciples right before he leaves, he says it in Acts 2, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, okay, now you guys, I've done this thing. I've lived among you. I've ministered among you for about 3 years. Now you're going to do this. The church is going to be me to this world. You're going to be me to each other, to your brothers and sisters. And that's phenomenal. We have the Holy Spirit in us. As Paul says, if you have the Spirit in you. So God is in us, helping us do this thing that he has told us to do. So it's an if then. If Jesus has done these things for you, anything for you, then this is what our response needs to be. It's not about us or our desires or, well, I don't really need that, or they're really annoying, or they're weird, or I don't feel like it right now, or I've had a long day. It needs to be a Jesus attitude. So there's this interesting little verse it's kind of a big verse, I guess you could say. And it starts, and we actually looked at this during our Welcome to the Neighborhood series about loving your neighbor. And there's this guy, a Pharisee, a Jewish religious leader, comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, he's trying to trick him. It's like, Jesus, since you're so smart, what is the most important thing of all the laws, of all the Ten Commandments, of all the 500 and some rules and laws that are in the Old Testament, which is the most important? Huh? And Jesus replied, and he gave, now this what's in parentheses here is not in the Bible, so don't look for it. Like, I didn't see it there. This is in Matthew chapter 22, by the way. And there's an if statement implied there. So Jesus said, here's the most important thing. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He says, love God with everything. He says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Like, this is the most important thing. This is the if. If you love God with everything, then there's a then. The second is like it. Then, love your neighbor as yourself. See, here again is that same concept. If Jesus has done anything for you, then you need to help out your brothers and sisters. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you need to love your neighbor as yourself. These two are connected. And somehow, and I'm not saying MC3. I'm not blaming us. I'm not saying we've got the problem here. I'm just saying as the church over the years in this world has gotten to this point where, like, I can love Jesus and I can do the Sunday morning thing, but I don't have to be connected with my brothers and sisters. And it's just not there. I can love God but not love my neighbor. I can do home church by myself. Like, that's not church. I'm sorry. You can worship, you can pray, you can sing, you can do it all by yourself. And all those things are wonderful, but don't call it church. Because church is the gathering of the body of Christ, of the followers of Jesus, of this family, of the brothers and sisters that we are together. If Jesus has done this, then this is what we need to do. I want to make sure we're clear that this isn't like a gray area. This isn't a spot where Jesus says, Paul or Jesus said, if I've done anything for you, then you kind of figure it out, whatever you think is best. No. If Jesus has done anything for you, then you need to be there for your brothers and sisters. You need to be connected to the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about on Sunday morning. We're going to talk about worship in a couple more weeks. I'm talking about connection. I'm talking about helping each other out. And what you're doing right now, which is great. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're worshiping. All of that. But this isn't really helping each other out. Unless maybe you move over so someone has a seat next to you. Just understand that. Let's not miss that this isn't what church is. This is worship, which is a part of what the body of Christ does. But it goes deeper than just showing up on a Sunday morning, than just sitting here. So, one of the things that you've, if you've been at MC3 at any time over the last, 8 years, we're coming up on 8 years, and next month is 8 years. And we talk about what makes MC3 MC3. What is it that makes us, I don't want to say unique, because this isn't that unique. This isn't even our idea. But when we're coming together and say, look, if we started this church, if we feel like God is leading us in this direction, let's be intentional about how we do it. And so there was this team of people, this group of people that got together, and we started praying and looking into what does God want us to do. And we came upon this passage in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And it was a description of the early church. This is a description of right after Jesus leaves and says, basically, here's the keys. You guys are in charge. This is your thing now. Now you make more disciples. You make more followers of me. And there was this description in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, of what that church looked like. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we said, okay, here's this description. What if we kind of tried to model our church around what the early church did? I mean, kind of whittled through some of the church has been around for, 21 centuries. Maybe whittle our way, maybe 20. Anyway, whittling our way through, 20 plus. Anyway, are we in the 21st century? Is the 22nd century? In your turn one, you've been alive for 1 year. Anyway, regardless, the church has been around, and so we've had a lot of times. I don't know about you, but I tend to mess things up. And over the years, the church has kind of messed things up. So we're like, what does this look like? And so we came back to this, and you have a little card on a seat around you. If you pick it up and you're like, I've done this a million times. Good. Because I want you to understand what it is that God has called us to do and who God has called us to be. And if you need pens, Dave is back there. Make sure you say hi and pat him on the shoulder. or he'll pat me on the shoulder. We actually ran into each other in the doctor's office. We were both getting our tetanus shots. So we're feeling good. Maybe that's it. It's the tetanus. I think maybe I have tetanus. That's what's causing all of this brain stuff. So anyway, he has pens. If you need a pen, just kind of raise your hand and he'll throw one at your eye. No, please don't. Thank you. So we said, what does that look like? So we looked at this passage and said, what if we broke it down? And the first thing we noticed were a pattern of some things that stood out there. And that was these key words here. We saw that they devoted themselves, by the way, this was devotion. They were committed to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Then later it says all the believers were together and had everything in common. Then later it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There's this idea of these people being connected. They weren't just showing up on Sunday morning. They were connected to one another every day. They were in life together. And we looked at that and said, okay, what would we call that? And we call that, and it's we didn't invent this word. We call that community. That's, yeah, write that there. And we saw three things that emerged from this passage. And so we call them the 3C process, because they all start with C. And so the first thing we saw was community, and so we call that C1. And that this whole group of followers were together. And so we said, if we're going to do a church built around some of these concepts, let's be intentional about how we program it. Let's be intentional about the ministries that we offer and what we don't offer, so that we can focus on these things. And so as a church, we have developed brilliant, brand new idea called prime groups. We've developed small groups called prime groups. It's not brilliant. It's not a new idea. It's been around. But we said, let's be intentional about this idea of C1, of getting people together outside of Sunday morning and getting people in each other's lives and helping each other out and getting each other's back. Because you can't do that. You can see each other's back in this setting, but you can't get their back. So we said, let's make something, and we called it prime groups that we focus on. And then as we looked on through the passage again, we saw some more things. We saw that they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So the church leaders were teaching the whole group of the church. And it says later that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So the temple courts was a large group gathering. It was everybody kind of meeting together. And later it says they were praising God. And so there's this idea of this group gathering together as a body, as a large group, as a congregation to worship and to be taught and coming together. And so we said, oh, hey, that's a good idea. What if we gather together? And this is what typical American church is, gathering together on a Sunday morning. And so we saw that. And by the way, this is a process. And so we said, why don't we make another C here? We call this C2, congregation, which is a fancy word for gathering together. And so let's do that. Let's do that well. And so we developed, again, brand new concept. What if we got together on a Sunday morning and worshiped together? What? And so we call that the worship experience. And we actually intentionally don't call it a worship service, because serving is a different thing. Experience. So we got that, the worship experience. And you are in the worship experience because we want you to be able to experience something as you worship God. And just to be clear, worship is not just music. We'll talk about that in a couple more weeks. Worship is also what you're doing right now. Learning from the Word of God is worship. Giving is worship. So this whole thing is an opportunity for you to experience worship. Another way for you to worship is to record a video about your brother and sister. Sorry. That was a little too guilt trippy. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. So then we were looking at the passage and say, okay, we see this. And the third thing we noticed in this passage was that they sold their possessions and goods, giving to anyone as they had need. They sold their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they needed. So they would sell something because they have a need. I'm selling this so I can give you some money to help meet that need. And then later it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people. So not just the church, but the entire area, the entire town, city, village, whatever, was glad that the church was there. And so we said, what if we focused on this idea of not just, you know, gathering together and being in each other's lives, not just worshiping, but actually doing things for other people, meeting needs. And we saw that this was a nice C as well, and we call this C3, caring. What if we care for one another? And at MC3 we said, okay, let's how do we do that intentionally? And so we created this really brilliant name called C3 Opportunities. And C3 Opportunities are simply ways for us to serve each other, to meet needs of other people. And sometimes those happen completely off the books, completely off the record. Within prime groups is definitely a big way that that happens. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're church-wide. Last March, I think it was, we went as a church and prepped a whole bunch of the ball fields in the area to say, hey, why? Because we want our community to be glad that we're here. And by the way, they were. We actually have a really nice sign down at Rec Park that says, has the MC3 logo on the back of the field. So we've got our logo at one of the baseball fields. By the way, we have a C3 softball team that's in a a public community, you know, in a community league. It's not a church league. And then we have a race car. So, like, we're just different. But anyway, this idea of C3 opportunities, how do we meet the needs? And again, this is a process because we realize, you know, typical church, American church, 21st century, you know, is this idea of get people to show up. But sometimes people are not comfortable coming into a building as majestic and glorious as this. Sometimes they need to get to know other people. And so we realize that, you know, it doesn't always happen here. Sometimes it happens here. Sometimes we're out serving, and some of you are here because of this, because someone met a need from a group from this church called MC3, and they met a need for you. And you're like, wow, I need to check this out. Why would you even do this for me? And so we realize that this is a process where anybody can kind of jump in, and we want to see everyone involved in all of these things because that's what the early church looked like. And one of the really cool things that we'd noticed, and this is literally after we had kind of put this together, was that if we were to draw a line down the middle here, we just read a verse, an if-then statement. Jesus said that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we realized that worship, congregation, is loving God, and that these over here, well, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is loving others. And so we said, let's start a church, let's kind of put this together and see what God wants to do with it. We felt like this is where He was leading us. And so this is what MC3 is about. C3 process. Community, congregation, caring. There's a whole lot of other things that MC3 is not about because we want to focus on those things and doing them well. So today, if you haven't felt this already, I want to talk specifically about prime groups and the importance of being in a prime group, of being connected in community. Because we have been told to love each other. Paul says, if Jesus has done anything for you, then make His joy complete by being like-minded, by helping each other out, by being there for each other. So I want to share two rather pointed thoughts. Just two. And that's based on this idea. If we were created to help each other out, if that is true, if we are created for community, if we are created in this way, then there's some things that we need to do. Two things. Or at least to understand. The first thing is that you need community. You need community. And that doesn't mean, well, I'm okay on my own. No, I'm doing all right now. No, it's not a big deal. No, I don't really like those people. No. You need community. Jesus created you for this need. He created the church. It's not optional. And I'll go so far to say is prime groups here are not optional. And if you feel that they are or that this is not a big deal for you, can I just politely suggest that you find a church that doesn't really care about community? And I don't mean that in a mean way. If you strongly feel that that's not something that you need, this isn't the church for you. Because we feel it is something that you need, that you need to be connected in community. And you're like, wow, that's really harsh, Sean. Well, listen to what Paul says to the church he planted in Rome. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given to me, I give each of you this warning. He says, because I'm kind of a, God has done some incredible things for me, I planted these churches, and so here's the warning I'm giving to you, Paul says. He says, don't think you are better than you really are. Don't think that you're better than you really are. Oh, I don't need that. Oh, I'm okay without it. Oh, it's not going to fit into my schedule. Oh, it's not that big of a deal to me. Paul says, don't think you're better than you are. Who do you think you are? Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. And so he's not just saying, you know, hey, just don't be a jerk. He goes right into it and says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you need community, and you need community because you're part of this thing whether you like it or not. And community here is prime groups. You need to be in that connection. You need it. I wrote here in my notes here, you know, God designed us for community, which is amazing. Like, that's the cool thing, too. Kendrick kind of prayed about this. If you look at the different religions and the different gods and all the false systems of belief that are out there, like, none of them actually give people help. The God is kind of up there, and you try to appease this God, however. And Jesus says, look, I'm coming down, and then I'm going to give you each other. And you're not even on your own. I'm giving you me, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you as a follower of me. And so you're there for each other. You're not on your own. You've got each other. And he says, I've created you this way. It's called the church. The church is a big deal in the Bible. But here's the thing. When we choose to avoid that, or say, well, I don't really need that. I don't need community. I don't need, again, at MC3, I don't need prime groups. Then you are saying that you know better than God. I know that's blunt, that's harsh. I just don't have time to fit it in my schedule. Well, make priorities. You need this thing. And if you say, no, I don't, then you take it up with God, because he says, Paul says, you know, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this. Don't think that you're better than you are. Don't think you don't need this. We're all one body. You're in this whether you like it or not. You need this. You've been designed for this. So if we are created to help each other out, if Jesus has done anything for you, then you need community. The second thing, now that was kind of harsh, your community needs you. See, you know, it's one thing for you to be like, well, I don't really need that thing. But when you don't participate, when you are not connected in a prime group, there is a piece of that group that is missing. That piece is the part that you have to play. There's a part of it that God has put together. I mean, think of a team. Like, we don't even have to imagine. Pretend you're Antonio Brown. Because Antonio Brown happens to be a really good player. He happens to be a part, well, now of his third team in the last 6 months, 8 months. And here he's a receiver, and that's his role. His job is to catch the ball, and he's really good at it. But he kind of got to this point, and it seems like he's doing it. Anyway, I'm not making this stuff up. You just read this craziness. He just got let go of a team yesterday and then was brought onto another team. We don't even talk about which team brought him on. But anyway. But here's the deal. His issue was he felt, no, I don't need this. I'm better without them. To the point where last year for the Steelers, he left the game. He left the field in the middle of the game because he got frustrated with the team. Oh. And there is a part of that team that is missing when he walks away, because he's the wide receiver. The quarterback isn't the wide receiver. The punter isn't the wide receiver. Everyone has a part to play on a team. And when you just decide to walk away from it and say, well, I don't need this, the team suffers too. And this is what Paul writes to the church he planted in Corinth. He says, yes, there are many parts. And he's kind of finishing a thought here. There's many parts, but there's only one body. This is the body. We are the body. He says, the eye can never say to the hand, kind of going to this literal body metaphor, your eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Why? Because your eyes have a function. Theirs is to see. The hand has a function, and it is to do. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Oh, I'm the head. I've got the brain. I've got the talky part. I've got the eaty part. But you need your feet to get around. He goes on and says, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And I would just say that as an encouragement to you if you're like, well, I don't know. I'm not Antonio Brown. I'm not a receiver. I'm not a punter. I'm not a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe I'm the water boy. I don't know. Like, Paul says, look, even the ones that we think are the weakest are actually the most necessary. So don't walk around going, well, I'm not that. I'm not a pastor. I could never do that. I don't care. We need each other. We need all the parts of this thing to work. And then he goes on and says, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that the extra honor and care are given to the parts that have less dignity. What he's saying is, there's parts of your body that you cover up, and they're important too. Like, that's my quick translation of what he's saying there. You get that? There's things that we don't expose. And you want those parts too. Even though you cover them up, you want those parts too. And then he goes on and says, this makes for harmony among the members. We looked at this word harmony last week, of this getting each other's backs, being connected, so that all the members care for each other. He says, look, your design is a community. You're designed to be connected with each other. And every part matters. Even if you think you don't matter, no, you're wrong. It matters. And if you think that it's not going to be a big deal if you're not there, no, it matters. So that all the members care for each other. And this is what Prime Groups, like this is like a statement, a sentence on Prime Groups. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Paul says when you are in community, when you're connected together, even though your parts are all different and you have a different role and a different function, together we all grow. When someone hurts, we are sad together. When someone has a need, we meet that need together. And you won't know those things if you're sitting in a chair on a Sunday morning. Or if you're listening online to this. That's my church. I'm listening online. No, it's not church. It's great. You're allowed to listen to it, but don't call it church. He goes on and says, all of you together, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Like, we're all together in this. You need community, and your community needs you. And I'm for real about this. Like, I'm excited because we're going to a Prime Group again where I'm not leading it. I'm just a regular everyday guy. I'm always a regular everyday guy. I actually was reading a book last week and it said, where did we get this idea that pastors are like better and more spiritual and more superior? Because it's not in the Bible. Because we're all in it. And this is just my role. I'm just serving in my role right now, teaching. It doesn't make me any better or lesser than you. I mean, I'm on a platform, so I'm higher, but there's some of you that are taller than me even when I'm standing up here. Because we need each other. We're designed to be together. We're designed to be connected. You need community, and your community needs you. And it's just one of these things where it's easy for us to be like, nah, that's too much. I don't have time. It's not that big of a deal. And I'm telling you, it is a big deal that we need to be connected. Because brothers and sisters, they help each other out. And when you're in a Prime Group, you start to hear the things that your brothers and sisters need. You start to rejoice with them and celebrate. And this week, actually, as they start, you're going to have a chance. We're going to kind of explore what are these God moments that we talk about so often. Explore them a little bit more and celebrate what God is doing in each other's lives. And again, the stories can be told over and over and over about, oh, I had this need and suddenly my Prime Group showed up and there was a dryer. Someone heard that I had a dryer, and they showed up with a dryer for me, a brand new dryer. I helped my Prime Group. We needed to move, and my Prime Group showed up and moved. I had this need, and someone came up and gave me a check. Or I needed someone to talk to, and I knew I could call them at 10 o'clock at night. Or I was going through this really hard time, and they just redirected me. They said some hard things that I needed to hear because they weren't looking out for their own interests, but they were looking out for my interests, and said some hard things to get me back in my focus on Jesus. That's what we do. That's what the church is. We are one, and we help each other out because we're family. Like, I mean, my family's messed up, and I'll leave this one on the mic today. They know that. But they're still my family. We help each other out. When I get a phone call from my brother, out of the blue, I'll talk to him for 2 hours. Because that's what we do. And we are a family too. Brothers and sisters, we're there for each other. We help each other out. So, when we're done here, if you're not in a Prime Group, there's a sign-up sheet out there in the lobby. There's 5 adult groups. If you can't find a time or a location to meet, honestly, if that's really, really your issue, see me or Jason Donaldson. If that's really your issue, if it's like, well, nothing works, so I can't do it. But I encourage you to do that because we need each other. We need to help each other out. We're a family. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. And God, this thing that you have created, this church, the church, not just MC3, but the church around the world throughout history for the last 20 centuries, is an amazing thing. Because as the great God of the universe, who certainly came down and died for us, but then you returned to your glory. But you didn't leave us. You gave us your Spirit. And so now we have God in us as followers of you to be able to help each other and to keep doing this thing. And we know we are human. We are sinners. We are going to mess it up. We have messed it up. We will mess it up again. But you still allow us to represent you to this world, to this broken world. And God, we are brothers and sisters in here, and we need each other. And I pray for each of us that concept, that this if-then, that if any you have done anything for us, which you have, that then we help each other out. We are in each other's lives. We are one-minded. I pray that you would help us to grasp that concept and then to see it play out, to watch it happen as we are your church, as we care for one another, as we are in community together, as we're able to share our needs, our burdens, our joys, our struggles, and grow together in you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.